Now it's time for the Coach's Show with Sterling head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts Rob Strauss and Tad Kozineski. And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss joined by Sterling head football coach Clint Wiley, and we are going to sum up last week's huge game, Battle of the Unbeatens, the two 4-0 teams into the game, and a huge game on every level, from a broadcasting standpoint to a game on the field. Tell us a little bit about how you felt the game went.
Well, I mean, it was a great honor to be on CN8, live television on the East Coast here. It was great for our school, great for our community, and especially it was great for our kids and our football program, especially our seniors. They've been through a lot. And it was great for them to put in the effort and to hopefully be rewarded, you know, with a win on Friday night against one of the best teams in South Jersey, you know, West Effort, which, the outcome definitely was not what we wanted. But I thought our kids played hard. I thought our kids were physical. And I walked away from there, you know, very upset, you know, because we lost the game. But after watching the film and sitting down with our players on Monday, and I just broke it down to them, I mean, we're almost there. You know, and, Clyde Folsom, you know, said to me after the game, he goes, hey, this is definitely a semifinal football team you got here. And he was impressed, and he goes, I just hope we don't play you guys again. And to me, that's a great accomplishment for coming from Clyde, who's been doing this for a long time, who's turned around a program like I'm trying to turn around here at Sterling. And, he's a two-time defending champs and got 26 game winning streak. So we're almost there, you know, so – like I said to the kids Friday after the game, I mean, it's going to hurt because you invest so much time, and we put a lot into it, and, you know, we just didn't seek the opportunity. But how do we handle this? How do we go forward is what we do on Monday. And I said, if you guys come to work on Monday with your minds focused on the next game, which is Overbrook, and we learn from our mistakes from Friday night, and we correct those mistakes on Monday and Tuesday, that's going to determine the outcome of tonight's game against Overbrook.
Hey, Coach, do me a favor. Just compare this year's West Effort game to last year's games. Which one do you think, obviously, was better, and what needs to get better from a Sterling standpoint?
Well, I thought we played West Effort overall as a team better the first game of last year.
At home.
You know, I thought we played them well as a team. Defensively, we played pretty well. Offensively, we scored some points, and our special teams, you know, we just the ball just didn't bounce our way. The playoff game. I thought we played all right the first half, but then our second half, very similar to last Friday's game. But the thing that I was impressed with was I think defensively we played pretty well, better than the first time we played them last year. With only 7-8 guys. I mean, we had some guys who didn't show up, all right? And we pointed out to the guys on field, but we had about 7-8 guys on defense that were balling, and they were playing hard. And we had West Effort. I mean, here's the thing you got to remember. Up till our game on Friday, West Effort never had to punt. You know, I think we made them punt like 5 times. The thing that was impressive is we had them in third and longs a lot of the times. Now, we gave up a couple big runs there in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. But overall, I mean, we played pretty well defensively. I mean, the thing you can't do against West Effort, which we did, is one, turn the ball over. You know, the first drive, we get the ball, we take the ball because our mindset is, hey, it's a chance for us to win the coin toss. We want the football because we think our kickoff return team can do something. If not our offense, we're going to set the tone of the game. You know, the offensive line did a great job making a huge hole for Devon Tucker. He shoots through there for about 16 yards, and then he gets tackled. Well, hey, that happens. It's part of life, but you got to hold on to the football, and we turned it over and give West Effort a ball on the 35-yard line. But overall, you know, you just can't do those things. But, I mean, like I said, I walked away from there, you know, upset, disappointed, because I thought this was a game we definitely could win, where in the years past I didn't feel that way going into this game. And after watching the film, like, man, we're just a couple plays away, and, you know, a couple of players – that we count on need to show up the next time. Hopefully we get the opportunity to play them again.
Oh, something that you said last week you were going to reach into your bag of tricks a little bit and pull some plays out, which you did. Matt Mignano passed a lot more. I think he passed just as much in this game as he did in the prior four games leading into this game.
Uh-huh.
T- tell us a little bit about the passing game and the improvement. I mean, he looked pretty sharp.
He looked good.
Against
I mean,
West
the stats Effort. Aren't going to show it. I mean, stats, I think he was like 5 of 11 with 2 interceptions. But, I mean, if you were there watching the game, I mean, the one interception, he threw the ball, was a great ball to Marvin. And now Marvin went up and get the ball, and the other kid from West Effort just, you know, took the ball out of Marvin's hands. I thought Matt played really well. I mean, he did everything we asked. I mean, Matt was focused. Matt was stepping up being a leader on Friday night. I mean, he was a vocal leader, playing with a lot of confidence. You know, a team like West Effort, you have to open up. You're not going to beat them running the football. So I thought we did a good job of trying to execute the passing game. I thought Matt had some critical third down passes. I thought Vermeer Jenkins did an exceptional job of catching the football. And then what was impressive is his yards after his catch, especially the first time we ran the first power pass, he caught the ball. It was only really about a 5-6 yard pass. He caught it, and then he ended up running for another 35 yards. But I was impressed with our passing game. I thought Matt did a really nice job, and I thought our kids and then the other thing is, too, like you mentioned, a bag of tricks. We ran some trick plays. And then when you run those trick plays, you got to be able to execute those trick plays. And we weren't able to do that. Like the Haddon Heights game, when it was 4th and 1, we ran the toss with the halfback pass wide open. We completed. The other night, we ran that play twice. And one time, Julian, on a 4th and 1, was wide open. We just didn't execute that. Yep. Just missed him. And then early in the game, we ran the reverse pass with Vermeer Jenkins, threw it to our tight end, Joe Matchett. And, you know, Joe just came up short with the ball. But we took some chances, you know, on our offense. I think we opened it up a little bit more. And but we just didn't execute all the time, especially when you're going to take those chances and run those trick plays. You got to be able to come away with some points.
The big purple elephant in the room that everybody notices but nobody talks about is the 4th and 1, 4th and goal play. A little over 2.5 minutes left to go in the game. It's a 7-7 game. Defensive stand. They hand it off to Owens. Owens appears from the official standpoint to get in, but having the ability to watch this again on CN8, obviously fumbled at about the 1.5 yard line. I believe that was Vermeer Jenkins that got his helmet on the ball. Tell us a little bit about that play and some of the feedback that you got from either your coaches or your fans. Refs, anyway, what was the logic behind that? Obviously, it was a big play.
It was a huge play in the game. Matter of fact, it's like you mentioned, Rob, it was 7-7. You know, our kids are back against the wall. I think there's like 2 minutes left before half. And our kids, I mean, showed up, man, and they made plays at the end. And it was Richard Carter, matter of fact. Yep. Richard Carter got his helmet on the ball and created a fumble, and the ball went in the back of the end zone, and Zaire Gibson covered it. And even though the official called it a touchdown, you know, that was a great play by our kids. No matter where the ball's at, you got to come up and make a play. And they didn't quit. And that's what's encouraging about the character of this football team. You know, the official, missed the call. I mean, watching television and all that stuff. But here's what we always preach to our kids. The game of football is about life. All right, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all human. I'm going to make some bad calls. They're going to make some bad plays. The officials are going to mess up. And at that point in time, I mean, that was a critical call. And did it hurt us? The answer is yes. But like we always said, going forward, how do we learn from our mistakes or things that maybe hurt us, things that we can't control? Well, to answer your question is, the feedback we got is, you know, we're coming off the field at halftime. It's 14-7, which really should be 7-7 right there with us with a great goal line stand. Now we got enthusiasm and emotion going our direction. You know, a lot of fans, because people were watching the game on CN8, were texting people saying, oh, it definitely was a fumble. I mean, and as you can see, if you watch the game on television, you watch our film, he clearly fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line. And so I got a lot of negative or positive feedback going to halftime. Some of our parents were yelling, oh, it was a fumble, which was great. I mean, our fans were really into the game. But the life lesson is this: you still got to keep playing. And one thing that happened this week, which I was very appreciative of, the referee who made that call sent me an email and apologized to our team and to me. About blowing that call. And to me, like I always tell the kids, it takes a real man to say, hey, we're wrong, or I'm wrong, now we move forward. Anybody can sit here and give you lip service all the time and say I'm never wrong, they're never going to get better in life. But we always say it takes a real man to say, okay, you know what, I was wrong. And that's a credit to that guy who sent an email, took time out of his day, sent an email and say, you know what, I blew that call. He says, your kids played hard. They didn't deserve, or did this football program, or did you as a coaching staff deserve for me to blow that call? But that meant a lot to me. That guy did that. And you know what the thing else he said in the email was, a credit to your staff and to your players, how they handled my blown call. They handled it with dignity and being a great character young men. They didn't complain about it. They just went back out there and played ball. And that was the thing. He said he walked away. Their staff, the officiating crew, felt really impressed with our kids, the way they played and the way they held themselves and carried themselves out there, and they represented Sterling football.
And that was going to be kind of my next question was, how did your players take it? It was a huge deflating play. They know that they stacked them up fourth and goal and a very good defensive stand. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to the locker room down 14-7 instead of potentially being up 14-7. It could have been a 14-point swing either way. But how did your players take that?
Well, like we always say, we got to move on. I mean, it's easy for me to say that. Now, did it affect the game in any which way? I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we just control what we can control. And like we said to the kids, hey, like we say every day, you're only as good as your next play. You know, if you keep worrying about the last play, then it's going to hold you back for the next two to three plays. And hopefully our kids are trained now that, hey, we got to move on from it. Was it a letdown? Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. It's not the difference of the outcome of the game. Yeah, it would be nice to be 7-7. I mean, because at the end of the day, it was 21-7 with almost 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of this game. So realistically, it was 14-7. We're playing the South Jersey's best Group 2 team, you know, holding them to 14-7 with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It's pretty impressive. But, hey, it's life, and we got to move on. And where we're focused at now, hopefully we learn from our lessons. Things that we focus on what we can control here. We can't control if an official makes a bad call. We can't control if we're going to make the playoffs or not make the playoffs with the PowerPoint system. What we control is we go out each Friday or Saturday, wherever the ball's at, we have to play football. And for us, the next journey is tonight. You know, next payday's tonight against Overbrook.
That play at the goal line was tough for us to see because we didn't get it. My phone was blowing up saying, hey, from everybody watching at home and then texting me and Tad and Kevin Shule saying, hey, that was clearly a fumble. The refs blew that call. We couldn't see it from our angle, but went running out onto the field, and kind of wish you had the red challenge flag in your sock again.
Yep. So that's why I said to the officials, I said, just the way the ball came out, the angle, I pointed up. I said, listen, since this is a television game, can we get a challenge here? And they laughed and they said no, but you know what? At the end of the day, we got to move on and. It's just one thing, and hopefully we can learn from it.
Talk to us a little bit about your defense holding the big guy, Mr. Owens, to, I believe, it was under 100 yards rushing close to 100 yards rushing by the end of the night. I think they did a fantastic job containing him in terms of yards per carry.
Yeah, without a doubt. It all starts up front. I mean, two guys have played really well. One kid stepped up. And it's been basically, you know, a captain on our team, Matt Doherty, who played center for us all year. We asked him to go over and play a little bit of defense on Friday night, and he really had a great game. I was really proud of Matt's efforts. I mean, he's a young man who I'm riding all the time because I know he can get better and get better. And he's very coachable, and he does everything we ask. We asked him to go over and play a little nose guard, and he dominated, I thought, West Effort's front. And then JT Thompson, week in and week out. I mean, this young man's just getting better and better as a football player. And the nice thing is we're going to have him for another year. And he really did. And our linebackers, I mean, another guy, Magnus Connor. I mean, he's a kid who last year was a backup. You know, really didn't even start on our team last year, offensively and defensively. There's a young man that just keeps working and doing what we ask him to do. He's a fine example of a Sterling football player. And now his senior year, he's getting a chance to start a linebacker. He had a great game against West Effort. And now, I mean, he should be playing tight end, but since we lost somebody, he's been playing offensive tackle. And he's a kid that shows up, coach, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for the team. And Devon Tucker played really well at the linebacker position. And Vermeer Jenkins also played well at the linebacker position. And like I stated earlier, I thought we played well on defense, and there's a couple kids who didn't have their best games, who we expect more out of. And that's the encouraging thing. Like we always say, we got to look at the positive things. We played West Effort with one of the best offenses in South Jersey with really eight guys throughout the course of the night. So if I can get those three other guys, the next time we play them, we may have a shot.
Tell us a little bit about because the game was on CN8, you had to, for the first time, for a lot of these kids, had to deal with the TV timeouts and the really, really – really long halftime, which is about 45 minutes long, and we were wondering, you know, what's going on? Where is everybody? It was almost a 45-minute halftime. Did that have any effect on your kids that they're used to about a 20-minute, and now you're taking
it
doubling it?
Yeah, I mean, they mentioned to us right before half it's going to be over 30 minutes because I guess they were doing a Hall of Fame ceremony at halftime. And, yeah, we're normally 15, 20 minutes in the locker room. We're back out. And, I mean, really, somebody told me I think it was like 43 minutes before, you know, from the end of the half to kickoff, the second half. And, you know, I think that had a lot to do with maybe us coming out a little bit flat in the third quarter. You know, the television timeouts, I think they help you and hurt you in one way. I mean, hopefully it gives you a chance. Guys who are going both ways get a chance to get a drink of water and save some of their energy back. But at the end of the day, there was a lot of distractions this week. It was special. It's really special. I can't tell you enough how special it was for this school and this football program to be on television. But there was interviews left and right. There was pregame interviews with our players. So it was a lot of excitement for our guys. But then again, there's also distractions. And like we try to tell the kids, it's easier to tell a 14 to 18-year-old kid this than him to really go out and do it. You know, you just got to treat it just like another game. You got to go back out there, treat it, even though there's going to be a lot of television guys. I mean, how special was it on Tuesday's practice? We had a Philadelphia Inquirer here. We had the Courier Post here. And we had CNN here. I mean, when's the last time starting high school had all this stuff here? I mean, but once again, trying to preach to kids, stay focused. Coaches, make sure they stay focused. But then again, when you're 14, 18 years old, you get a chance to be on television. You know, they did a great article. The Philadelphia Inquirer did a great article on JT on Friday morning about starting football and him in the trenches. I mean, this is exciting for these kids. And I'm excited for them, and I'm excited for their school, the community. I mean, this is where this place needs to be in week in and week out.
And you mentioned how special it is for the kids, and watching back to the CNA replay of it, they did little isolated pieces on Matt Mignano and some of the other players. Were they excited about that?
Oh, very excited.
And Matt seemed really comfortable on camera. He seemed, like you said, really focused and really psyched up for the game.
Yeah, he seemed a lot more relaxed in front of the camera than Devon Tucker did, that little special they did at halftime. Devon was like one-word answers and all that stuff. But Matt did a nice job. But, you know, it's the first time for everything, these guys. I mean, you think about where we've been 3 years ago before we took over this program, where these kids are at now. I mean, that's what it's about. It's not about this year. It's not about that game against West Effort. It's the journey of building this program and these kids buying into the philosophy and them going out and executing what we're asking them to do. And that's what made it so rewarding. Playing West Effort on CNA and these kids buying into philosophy and having a chance, a piece of the title. And, you know, it came up short, but that's a nice life lesson. I mean, there's sometimes the ball doesn't always bounce your way. You get knocked down. How do you respond? Do you get back up and come back swinging? And that's what I'm hoping for tonight. Hopefully you're going to see the starting football team that you saw 2 weeks ago, you know, get back up and come swinging like you did the last time we were home against Haddonfield.
I know I'm kind of looking ahead here. Mm-hmm. But how special is this group of seniors? Because these are the guys that you came in with, and those are the guys that you kind of molded from the beginning of your coaching career here at Sterling. Mm-hmm. How special is this group, and how tough is it going to be for you to you know, bid them farewell in the next month or so?
Yeah, it's going to be tough because, like anything else, like I said to guys, they were busting on me saying I'm soft. Like, I had a couple of tears in my eyes at Haddonfield when we beat Haddonfield. I said the thing that you don't realize, and everybody just looks for it, there's how much work is put in behind the scenes when you invest so much time in your life. Like, honestly, in my life, I got my wife, my kids, and my parents, all right, in this football program. That's all I have. I don't have any other hobbies. I don't care about anything besides my family and this football program. And to me, when you invest all that time and those kids see that and they understand the importance. I mean, this isn't just a three-month job. This is a 365-day job of investing into this program. And to me, it's going to be tough because these kids have bought into this. This senior class and junior class have built the foundation of what the expectations are of Sterling High School football. We got to get back to where it used to be, and that's what that's why I'm here. That's why we talked about it, and that's why I've been preaching since the day I've been here. But it doesn't happen overnight, but it's nice to see the blueprint now finally having the opportunity to win these games and hopefully be a powerhouse in South Jersey.
Looking to Overbrook tonight, coming up in just a few minutes, mm-hmm. How tough is it going to be to get your players motivated this week after last week's big game? This could be a trap game, as some would say.
Yeah, without a doubt.
How tough is it going to be to get your kids motivated? Are they already motivated?
I think they're already motivated. I mean, the nice thing is, Rob, these guys, it started on Monday. Well, it started on Friday night after the game, after I talked to these guys. I said, I'm going to find out who we are as a team and the character we have in each individual in this program is how you come in here on Monday. You come in here Monday pouting, or you come in here Monday and say, Coach, I need to get better. because we all need to get better, from the coaches, players, everybody needs to get better. And those kids came in on Monday. We had a two and a half hour film session, and we pointed out stuff that we need to get better, pointed out stuff that I need to get better as a coach. You know, there were some things in that game at West Effort that I didn't do a good enough job of getting our players involved, I mean, getting them in a position to make plays. And I point that out to the kids because, to me, when they see your leader say, hey, guys, I made a mistake, I need to get better, then they're willing to get better. So, and we had one of the best weeks of practice. I mean, I think I'm excited to see this group come out and play very physical starting football. I've heard it from not only you, but a lot of people. Oh, coach, you got to worry about this trap game. You got this trap game. Well, the way these guys came in on Monday, they took coaching. We made the corrections. And the way they come out practice this week, I'm looking for great things to happen tonight.
Looking at some of the numbers, Sterling obviously is sitting at 4-1 right now. Overbrook 2-3. They lost to Paulsboro, West Deptford, and Haddonfield. Haddonfield, we mentioned this before we started the show here. They got out of the chute kind of slow and lost to Haddonfield 52-6. Would you say there's a mismatch, or is it they're going to rebound off this game, or are you looking for a good contest tonight?
Yeah, I'm looking for a good contest. I mean, if you recall, my first year here, we jumped on them like 21-0, and then it started raining the second half, and then they end up coming back on us, and we end up holding on to a 1-point victory, I believe. And then last year, we went over to their place, and we physically ran the ball down their throats, and you know, we were able to come away with a nice marginal victory there. They're interesting to watch on film. They're very athletic, but week in and week out, you see a different team. You see them against Paulsboro. They compete against Paulsboro. You know, they end up losing that game. Paulsboro's 5-0. Then they show up against West Deptford, and West Deptford just manhandled them, and it was a blowout. Then they bounced back and played Haddon Heights in a very physical game, their first night game ever in school history, and they came away with a victory against Haddon Heights. And then last week on the road against Haddonfield, I mean, Haddonfield just jumped up on them, and the ball didn't bounce their way. They end up getting a punt block. They turn the ball over. Next thing you know, it's 28-0, 4 minutes in the game. And there you didn't see good things from there on.
Not off to a great start.
Yeah,
there.
So I don't know. Hopefully the same thing happened to Haddonfield against them tonight. So
everybody remembers Overbrook from way back in the day. You're looking at one of the most famous players of all time there, Ron Dayne, just a beast of a guy, won the Heisman Trophy, wound up going over to the Houston Texans and the New York Giants after a while. That was way back in 1996. So they have the products to put some players.
They got a lot of
players.
Talent. They got a lot of talent, and their football coach is doing a good job of trying to rebuild that program. I think he's in his third year. I think he came in over Brook same year I started here. He's a great guy. He's working hard at it. And he's got a young team like we do here. I think he's a majority of juniors and a few seniors. But he's a majority
so a young
of
team, but an yeah. up-and-coming yeah. kind of team. Yeah. Are you guys going to reach into your bag of tricks, try some new things, or is it going to be kind of status quo in terms of – is it going to be the same game plan from West Effort to this game, or are you still going back to the primarily running game?
We're going to have a little, probably game. More of a hopefully we'll be a little bit more balanced than we were against the Haddonfield game, you know, because of weather conditions, all that stuff. But I'd say we're probably going to be like a Haddonfield game plan. We're going to come out and try to execute, you know, the run game and be physical up front. I mean, within the first three or four plays, I got to find out if we can control the line of scrimmage or not. I'm going into the game plan that we can control the line of scrimmage up front. And if that's the case, then we're going to, you know, we're going to ride our horses in the back end. But we definitely got to work on Matt continuing to grow and to develop as a quarterback, as a thrower, and we got to give him opportunities. You know, I'm talking about on first down, second down, not just third down. We got to give him some opportunities to throw the ball. So I'm anxious to see how our kids come out and play tonight. This is an opportunity for us to go 4-0. Correct me if I'm wrong. I may be or 3-0 at home. Where are we at? 3-0, right?
3-0. Yep.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for us to go 3-0.
We always no, four. You're right. You're four.
Four.
Yep.
Am I four,
four.
Right?
Yep.
All right, yeah, time flies by, man.
Hold on, let's
but, yeah,
let's think about
this. But, yeah, this is the opportunity for us to come be 4-0 tonight at home. Because I always say, hey, great teams got to win at home, and then you got to win a few games on the road. And that's why I'm hoping for everybody who's listening to this radio show to come out to the game tonight and support us. I mean, these young men have put in a lot of time, a lot of effort throughout this summer, and they should be rewarded with the turnout of our student body, our fans, and all of our support. Come out tonight. Hopefully we go 4-0 at home.
And only two more home games left. We have just one more home game left, and that's going to be Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and that'll be Thanksgiving against Collingswood. That's Thanksgiving Eve for those of you listening at home. It is not on Thanksgiving. It's going to be Thanksgiving Eve. 7 o'clock start on that one, Coach?
Yes. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock start. A lot of that Spirit Week, too, as well here, so I'm sure the guys will be amped up for that. Before we sign off here, any players that you are concerned about on Overbrook's side, anybody that we should key on in terms of who players to watch?
And their quarterback does a nice job. He's a very athletic young man who can throw the ball. They switch to the wing tee offense like we're running. So, I mean, number 23 is a hard runner. I don't know these kids' names. I just know jersey numbers, 23. I know he's been a two-year starter for them at the fullback position, hard-nosed runner. And then they have their wings, 24 and 19. They're athletic. But hopefully we can win the battle inside the offense and defensive lines, and we can control those guys up front. But they're a very athletic team, and their quarterback can run and throw the ball. So always concerns you as a coach.
And I think fall has officially arrived. It's a little bit colder than it has been, and it's going to be the coldest.
Great weather.
It's good hitting weather.
We have to choose our words correctly now because when yesterday at practice, it was like, I don't know, 50 degrees maybe or 60 degrees, and my kids go, it's freezing out, coach. Well, I'm from Ohio, man. I'm out in shorts and all this stuff. It's nice weather. You can't use that freezing word till January, February, you know?
I'm with you on that one, guys.
So we had halfway through practice, I had a policy in place. Nobody can put their hands in their pockets or under their jerseys or under their shirts, or I was going to make them run afterwards. Because trying to toughen these guys up. It's not cold out. It's nice out. We're late October, man. This is beautiful weather.
We're just not used to it yet. We're used to 70-degree days and then maybe down in the 60s, 50s.
We've been blessed with nice weather.
We really have, with the exception the Haddonfield game where it was raining. It looks like the rain let up for most of the game, came back in halftime, and then dissipated for the rest. But for the most part, not to knock on wood here, but the weather for all of our games has been fantastic. So, Coach,
a nice night tonight, too.
Absolutely. Best of luck tonight. Hopefully come out with a W for the fourth W at home on the season. Best of luck tonight, Coach.
Hey, thank you. Go Knights.
That is a Go Knights. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Coach's Show. I'm Rob Strauss. Thanks again to Coach Wiley. And everybody, stay tuned for live game action right here on Sterling High School Radio.
By Terry Crisman. Looks like he's fouled there. Puts up a desperation shot. And
there he goes.
It's good. It's good. Terry Crisman battling to win the game. Terry Crisman for three.
You have got to be kidding me.
As Sterling upsets the Delsey Crusaders.
You have got to be kidding me.
First and goal from the four. Preston Harrison going to run out. He's 4 yards away from pay dirt. Passes it complete. The touchdown. Marcus Taylor from Preston Harrison.
They got to shoot it. Kylie, shot.
Tie game, we're going up for a tie.
Here we go. Sterling trying to slam it home.
Sanchez in a hole. Sterling, the group 2 chance for Allenville.
Connor Walsh inbounds to Marcus Taylor. 5 seconds left to go. Marcus Taylor all the way up the floor. Takes a shot. And it's good. Marcus Taylor at the buzzer. And it's over. Marcus Taylor hits a shot at the buzzer. Sterling wins 50-49.
5 seconds left, tied at 52. The inbound, Schmitz got it.
Good! Got it! She got it! To win the ball game, Paige Schmitz!
And now, Sterling Radio presents live coverage of Sterling High School sports right here on the one and only WSHS Sterling High School Radio.